What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Podcast.
We're here live, and you are listening and watching the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. All four of us in the stream for tonight stand. Ciro Moran, Raf Camus, and Chino Liao. And before we get to everything we're talking about tonight, and we promise, medyo marami rami tayong pag-uusapan ngayong gabi, we got to give a special shout-out to our Podcast Network Asia family, specifically Babyface producer Ryan, who's been taking care of the show. You've got Gideon working on the graphics you've been putting out. And the Podcast Network Asia family has actually welcomed a couple of new podcasts into the umbrella of the network. So first off, you've got my friend Mix Bustos from ANC, who debuted his new podcast Off the Record. And we've also got another couple of friends of the podcast, Jamalas and Dabski Zaiko. They are the local locas, and they just dropped their first episode 8 p.m. nung Monday night. So you can check it out on Spotify and on their Facebook page, Local Locas PH. The first local has K in it, so there.
Nice.
If you want to find it. So congratulations to our new family members from ating mga bagong kapodcast.
Shout out to them. Well, PNA, reimburse nyo naman yung mic ko. Mahal to eh.
Sige, Chino.
You jackass.
May 30 seconds
you
ba?
You jackass.
Anyway, let's move on.
All right. Okay, so we're streaming this tonight, June 10. We're a couple days or a couple nights away, actually, from Independence Day, which is really ironic. We're supposed to be commemorating Independence Day on Friday, given current events. And you know, it's been inspiring that the wrestling community has somehow gotten together to speak up about this locally. PWR came out with a statement, I believe it was Friday, and so did MWF not long after that. And then came the comments. So there were people who started reacting negatively and saying stuff like wrestling and politics shouldn't mix, stick to wrestling na lang kayo, or oh, yellow page pala to eh, all that crap. So it's funny that a lot of people actually have this idea that wrestling and politics do not go together, because for the longest time, wrestling has always been very political.
I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to be the asshole here and say, fuck that shit. Fuck. If you think... if you're laughing at us because we're yellow page, fuck you. If you're not political about this and you're making fun of us for being political about this, fuck you. If you still are not bothered by everything that's going on, fuck you. And that's all I have to say about it.
I'm gonna speak up about politics now. I don't usually do this. I try to stay as quiet as I can when we talk politics, when you guys want to voice your opinions. It's all our show, so everybody has the right to voice their opinions. And that's what's beautiful about this country, about this democracy we're in. We're allowed to express our opinions. And especially me, a stand-up comedian who makes his living off of voicing his opinions and making fun of people and finding the ridicule in everyday life. His livelihood is threatened now because people who are butthurt can be labeled terrorists. People who take something the wrong way can be labeled a terrorist, and they can end up in prison without a need for a warrant. That's messed up, man. I don't want to have to lose what I do just because I'm afraid that I offend people, just because somebody might take something wrong. I've had audiences wherein people have misunderstood what I was trying to say. And for the most part, yes, they've ended badly, but not as bad as ending up in jail, you know? Not a threat to life. Sorry?
Or dead,
right? No, it's not as bad
as that. That's within the realm of possibility.
Because at the end of the day, guys, a joke is still a joke. An opinion is still an opinion. And we have that right as free human people, right? And when you impede upon that right, that's when you have to think twice about where you stand politically. At least,
and the mañanita is still a birthday party.
Yeah, right? And I knew that this was going to be the issue that was gonna get you to, you know, to finally speak up, because it's an infringement on the freedom of expression, right?
Ako, so, you talking about me?
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about you. Okay.
Yes, Mister, mostly apolitical.
Kala ko si Camus eh.
No, no, no. Camus is good. Camus is A-okay.
Madal kaya ako, puta.
Yeah. Camus is good, but to people thinking that this, a lot of us are overreacting about this, that we have no reason to be afraid if we're not doing anything or saying anything wrong. That's where you're wrong, because we've already seen, with or without an anti-terror bill or anti-terror law, the government will use the power it has to stop its critics. And it's not afraid to do that even without the power that this law gives. So what more if once it's passed, right? So that's why we're all speaking out about this and why it's important, especially for us content creators, whether it's us here in the podcast or us in PWR, right? Where we're creating art that touches on a lot of different issues where, as Chino mentioned, someone could get hurt and someone could get offended. And that just, you know, completely changes the game, and not for the good at all.
Yeah, the funny thing is a lot of people seem to think now because wrestling is entertainment, there's no room in it for politics. But people forget that when Hulk Hogan was waging war on the Iron Sheik, or Nikita Koloff.
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, these are foreign heels. And it's always been about America overcoming the foreign villain. When Sergeant Slaughter rose to fame, it was because he was an all-American patriot. Again, politics pa rin. Kasi it was at, towards the end of the Cold War or at the end of the Vietnam War, whatever it was. Kurt Angle, all-American hero. Ganun pa rin. It's still political because you're touting yung values of American society. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, so nandun na yun eh. Even Muhammad Hassan, as Lance points out, was a very political character, and that's why he was very controversial at the time.
You don't even have to go as far back as Muhammad Hassan. Just look at Rusev and
Rusev. And that's what I was gonna say. Rusev and John Cena.
Right?
Yeah, goddamn. Yeah.
With the tank,
he just came out on a tank. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got current examples then, like Mustafa Ali. That is a political character. Even Mansoor's presence is political because they're pushing him as the Saudi Arabian babyface, given the issues of, of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That's
money.
Politics. Yeah. Even here in the Philippines, like the Mr. C character being booed because he's Chinese. That's political. When Sandata comes out with the political messages on his wrist tape, that's political. So I don't understand why some people think wrestling is an entertainment vehicle, therefore keep the politics out of it. Parang shut up and wrestle. So parang shut up and dribble yung sinabi ng Fox Sports commentator kay LeBron. That's bullshit.
No, I understand. I completely understand why people feel this way, why people are trying to shut us up, because they don't want to face the truth that everything we do in life, everything we create, everything we get into, everything we love happens to be political, happens to exist side by side with politics. It's something that I think people like China might have ignored for the better part of their lives until it comes knocking on their doors, right? But as long as people are uncomfortable with the fact that this could happen to them and it's a conversation they need to have, it's a truth they need to face, they'll always be telling us to stop talking about it. Because, yeah, as someone mentioned, I think it was Ben Shapiro who decried politics in sports because nawala daw yung comfort zone niya, his safe space, if you will, it was taken away from him. Well, too bad, because, you know, people who are oppressed, people when it comes to, you know, black people, minorities, people who are being targeted by the government, we've never had a comfort zone. We've never had a safe space. And it's time for you people to realize this, and we need to talk about it, and you can't run away from it forever. That's why you are, I don't know, upset with us. That's why you're mad at us for bringing up these points.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to be part of the movement, whatever movement it is, whether it's supporting a movement like Black Lives Matter in the US or this thing that we're voicing out about the anti-terror bill before it becomes the anti-terror law, there's so many ways for you to do that. There was a meme that went out you don't just have to be the person marching out in the streets or a frontliner. You can actually help out and support from wherever you are. and it could be because you live with someone who's high risk or immunocompromised because of the pandemic. You can donate. You can keep making noise on your social media. You can even educate the people you're with to talk to them about it and engage in discourse. So yeah, there's so many ways for you to be involved.
There's a free talk by Chel Diokno that's coming out on Facebook at 8 p.m.
Well, today?
Today.
Oh, shit,
Sorry. So let's end this. Let's end this quickly. Damn it,
tonight.
Gino.
Lang kanina. There's a free talk coming out tonight. Please don't leave. We need the views. But you can go right after. Right? Abutan yan.
Yeah, we'll finish.
Abutan yan. But it's on there. It's by... I forgot the Facebook page. I'll look for it and I'll post it on to wherever.
Post it in the comment section. But okay, yeah. So if we're all going to the Chel Diokno talk right after this, isn't it time to talk about wrestling?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure. Where do we start? I think we can start with NXT TakeOver.
TakeOver!
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about NXT TakeOver In Your House, which happened Monday, Manila time, and it felt different in a good way kasi finally may tao na. I love the set. I love the presentation. I loved yung retro aspect that they brought into it. But at the same time, it
they
was
still
weird.
They brought in the old announcer.
Yeah, see, Todd Pettingill.
Yeah, that was actually fun. It was a funny surprise now at the start. You're like, huh, okay. I sort of have a vague recollection of this guy from the tapes, but who the fuck was this and how'd they find him again? Diba?
Yeah.
Like, how long has that guy been unemployed?
Actually, nagulat din ako because I didn't recognize him at first. And then they cut to old footage of him and I was like, damn, he got old. Like, he got super old. Like,
I was cut off the mullet, that's why.
Yeah, I was so taken aback by how old he looks now. But then it was just, it was such a blast from the past how they had the house on. I don't know if you guys actually have seen in your house, like, because that's one of the things I remember. That's one of the things I remember seeing. Like, one of the first shows I've ever seen was an In Your House, a random In Your House that I can't remember the name of. And I remember how they had the home sets, they had the door and everything. And it was exactly like that, but with an NXT twist. And I love it.
I appreciated the fact that they did a whole custom set again because, you know, as you know, they've been doing, you know, the generic sets for pay-per-views and special events. Na wala na siyang personality whatsoever. So the fact that they dressed up the performance center with an actual facade of a house is already plus points for me.
I mean, my budget pa sila for set design and it's not going to use, so might as well, no?
Yeah, it definitely helped the theme, the overall theme, though. It wasn't just a name for the sake of, you know, using the name because we're all stuck at home or
plus
whatever.
They really put the set to good use. I mean, they had doorbell cam angles.
The doorbell cam.
Which I love, by the way. The doorbell cam angle. The best use of a doorbell cam in anywhere. It's so good. And then we had Io Shirai jumping off the roof. I mean, they put the set to good use. So I really like
Johnny Gargano, dude. Johnny Gargano coming out of the set night. It's an actual house.
Yeah. When it looked like his house, diba?
Yep.
When he had the picture of Doc Hendricks on the wall for some reason.
So good. So good. At the end of the day, it's like if we're gonna get more of this for however long quarantine goes, I like it.
Everyone in the comments right now, sound off on which parts of the show you like of NXT TakeOver that you like as we rattle down through the list of matches that we like as well.
I mean, and dami pang nangyari. They had all these commercials, diba? They did commercials.
Oh yeah, the good humor.
Iconapro. They brought Iconapro back.
Iconapro was dead as a brand, diba?
Yeah, diba? It's dead. They brought it back for one night. Right?
No, the ice cream sandwiches. Are the ice cream sandwiches real?
Yeah, those are real.
The ice cream sandwiches are real. Yeah, I remember seeing that a while back. But it's not available
in the APAC region.
Yeah,
and you're unfortunate,
John. Wala naman tayong good humor
dito. SNR doesn't carry them, but I think they did for a while. Like, just the generic good humor.
Oh.
So, there's that. Let's talk about the actual matches because, like, there was a lot of wrestling that sort of went on. That went on, but it was, for me, it felt like there were, as opposed to the past few NXT cards, this one was more up, down, up, middle, then up, down, that were, or all the way through na escalating action that you'd expect from an NXT show.
Yeah, I have to agree. I didn't find the It didn't have that same escalating action you'd expect from a normal takeover. Na parang every match is one-upping the match before it. To me, this felt a little confusing, magulo, in the sense that it felt like it was a little all over the place from certain points. But I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. It just, I felt like it could be more concise, like a little more structured out.
Honestly, I don't think they needed the six-woman tag. Sorry.
I thought they were trying something different with this takeover. I noticed the fact that they weren't trying to one-up each other with each match and that they weren't trying to go all the way up. So I appreciated that not every match had to be a banger. Like, there was actually a match in which we could actually breathe, right? Right before the main event, diba? So to me, it was a nice change of pace. It wasn't tiring at all. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I like the fact that I had some energy for the main event, which was a good choice for a main event as well. No?
I watched it in three parts. So I watched it in three parts because one, wala na akong WWE Network subscription. And two, I just had so much going on Monday and I could only take 1 hour breaks at a time. So hindi ko siya pinanood ng dere-derecho. So ganun din, di rin ako napagod watching it. Especially because yung stream na pinagkunan ko, they actually divided it sobrang sakto at the end of match 2, cut. End of match 4, cut. Boom. So yun, I agree with what you guys said. Let's get to the main event kasi the main event was really the highlight of the show, that Triple Threat NXT Women's Championship match. I didn't see Io Shirai winning at all. And I'm not sure if you guys, Camus and Chino, predicted that she would win or if someone else would have won.
Chino.
Camus might have said, but I did not called it. See it. Yeah.
I called it because anytime you get a triple threat that sets up the stakes like this, and you notice that there's one guy or one girl that's sort of, okay, I know she belongs here, but you start asking that question, is now the time? Then that's a good time for them to pull the trigger because you're caught off guard. And so many of you were like, nah, this is a Charlotte retain. There's more things she can do. And in the aftermath, you know, it's kind of cool that she just jumps on to Raw. But I saw this coming a mile away and I called it.
Did you actually call her going to Raw? Or you just...
No, I called EO. I called the EO, but then figured the Charlotte moving back to main programming also last week.
Yeah, after that happened on Raw, it made more sense to sing out with Nancy Becky, diba? So
yes,
definitely made more sense. And I don't think they could have denied EO for any longer. That's why they pulled the trigger now. I wouldn't have probably said the same thing if I were on the show last week. So it's a good thing. It kind of solidifies Rhea as another, a baby face, one of the top baby faces in the NXT women's division, especially if she has to claw her way back to the top, especially with people, a lot of people and fans behind her. So, okay,
is he a heel though? Ngayon, parang hindi na siya full heel. It's she's more like an anti-hero character ngayon.
I don't know either, but
it's somewhere there in between anti-hero and puff-face-ish.
Edgy face.
Oh, feeling ko kasi mas heel siya compared to Rhea Ripley. Eh. Like, if it was against these two, sure, on her own, yes, hindi siya heel. But then, you compare her to Rhea Ripley, I feel like she's the bigger heel.
Io Shirai. True. She's the healier.
Diba siya yung foil because she was the third person that didn't belong in the match, you know, and she interjected herself into this feud that Ripley and Charlotte have, and so now umepal siya And now she has the title. So I feel like that has to build some heat for her. Kahit paano, di ba?
It's weird though that she's supposedly a heel character and yet she got that celebration at the end. Now you had all the streamers and the colorful paper getting thrown into the ring, which is typically a babyface celebration move.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said that she is a anti-hero, but I do think Chino is also right in saying that compared to the two of them, Io is definitely a bigger heel. But hey, I think people are just happy for her all the same.
Yeah, super. I'm super happy. I'm also happy that three women's champions are Japanese. So you have Hikaru Shida in AEW, you have Asuka on Raw, and then sa NXT, you've got Io Shirai. It's a great time for Joshi wrestling. And it's kind of bittersweet saying that in light of the Hana Kimura passing from a few weeks ago.
Speaking of Hana Kimura, Dakota Kai apparently paid tribute to Hana Kimura with her in-ring gear. Sinabi niya yan on her Instagram.
And the hair. That's part of it. So it's a nice thing, but Japanese Joshi excellence in the world of wrestling, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to have. It's always a good thing. And at this point, you know, do we want more? Yes. Kairi Sane. Give us Kairi Sane. Just
not sure if her contract is
still up. SmackDown. Throw it to SmackDown. Complete the trifecta. Let's go.
Right. Next, we can talk about Karrion Kross choking out Tommaso Ciampa. I didn't see that coming. I thought it would be a longer match. So that was refreshing.
Yeah, I like the way that they just, you know, straight up presented Karrion Kross as someone to be feared. Because you got Tommaso Ciampa, a top guy who doesn't, you know, who's been in his fair share of long ass matches, but doesn't take forever against Karrion Kross. So okay, it presents Karrion as a really fearsome wrestler, and you know, a really good blue chip prospect. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, they're building him strong. They're giving him all this push because they're supposedly not keeping him in NXT for very long. So we'll just have to wait and see who he feuds with down the ways. Pero I'm liking this Karrion Kross look. I'm still confused about what Scarlett's actual role is here in their partnership. Pero I'm liking Karrion Kross. Taga lip sync nung
taga TikTok nila.
TikTok nila.
No, but she's the one point, who's going to get the knife and make the sacrificial blood offering.
No, but at this point, all the rosters look similar at this point. I mean, like, there's so many NXT call-ups and in recent memories, and there's going to be a few more call-ups soon. Dijakovic looks like he's going to be part of Seth Rollins' brood. If his Twitter,
I like that.
Wow, I like that a lot.
Velveteen Dream, I think, is going up as well. That's probably why he lost. Someone else Riddle, is going up. Chelsea Green was going
Chelsea
up.
Green,
Matt,
wow.
Matt Riddle is going up.
Yeah. Riddle's supposed to be
Matt Riddle is
on
up.
SmackDown.
Matt Riddle is up. He is on SmackDown.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, he hasn't wrestled yet, but you know, that's where he's
all vignettes.
Vignettes. But still, we already know that. But man, part of the what other call-ups, like if there are any other call-ups, like welcome. Apparently it's a welcome change, especially because they're all just there in the same facility.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not really not too different. It's just that for some reason NXT is still handled a little differently than the so-called main roster. So as long as Triple H still gets to play with his experiment there, I'm okay with it.
Here are a couple of contracts I want to drop. Oh, sorry, Chino. Okay, come on.
Ang ayoko lang mangyari is they call these people up and then they make them job to Jinder Mahal or whoever. Like, fucking.
I hope that.
Well, unfortunately, Jinder's hurt again.
Okay, good job. I guess we don't have to worry about that. Pero, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this WWE debilitating sickness where they call these great wrestlers up to the main roster, and then they just have them job for forever before they give them an actual push. Look at Apollo Crews, look at Aleister Black, right? They haven't been anywhere in a long time, and so
well,
I'll argue Apollo though that Cruz. Aleister Black was never on Apollo Crews' level. Apollo Crews, sige, yeah, lagi naging talunan. Aleister Black has been relatively protected since he debuted last year.
Yep. It's like he's not in the high profile matches that you want him to be in, but Aleister Black's been that's a pretty good
He was kind of protected.
Here's another example. Ricochet. Where's Ricochet at now?
That's a better example.
Okay, that's yeah. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter.
I want to drop some fun facts coming out of NXT TakeOver In Your House, because I'm not sure if you noticed this, but that was the first TakeOver main event that did not include any of these three, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Adam Cole, since Brooklyn 3, the summer of 2017.
I know.
So you main event known as Drew McIntyre and Bobby Roode.
Okay.
Speaking of Sasha Bailey, sila yung first main event na all women, di ba?
Second ever
women main event palang tong triple threat. So 5 years. It took them 5 years to follow up on that.
Wow.
Imagine having 5 years of Ciampa and Gargano and Adam Cole.
Yep.
Yeah,
and that's not such a bad thing.
I mean, yes, it's not a bad thing. But
not always.
It's not a bad thing, guys. But now that I think about it, parang wow, they did main event a lot. Like, damn, nobody else was given that spot.
Yeah, you know, you had some guys who would sneak into the main event every now and then. Like, Aleister Black only ever main evented once. Bo Dallas has been in the main event once, but that wasn't in that 5-year streak, obviously. You had the other three members of the era who main evented thrice, you know, Roddy, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, but that's only because of the War Games matches.
Right.
But if you want a really fun stat, Velveteen Dream has never been in the main event of a TakeOver.
He was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be before NXT TakeOver Tampa got canceled. Wasn't that supposed to be the thing?
Well,
yeah, but yeah, it never happened.
I do believe that was the one that he was supposed to reinvent. But
yeah, so it never happened. I want to talk about Velveteen Dream actually, since we already mentioned him. That backlot brawl was really weird. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Di ko siya masyado na enjoy. Yun yung match siguro na pinaka napagod ako just watching it. I had to take some breaks and pause. I appreciated yung the bump Adam Cole took on the windshield na talagang nabasag, tapos dumugo yung arm niya and all that. But other than that, it felt weird. Like, it was the weirdest cinematic match of all the cinematic matches.
Okay, I don't think it was a cinematic match. It was filmed outside the interior of the Performance Center, but I didn't think it was a cinematic match. I thought it was just a match that was outside, because it wasn't stylized like a cinematic match. It felt more like a hardcore false count anywhere match that happened outside. Like the same way, like the parking lot brawl isn't really a cinematic match. That's why there was commentary, I thought. So to me, it played out like, you know, a normal match that was just not in the ring inside. So to me, it was like that. But that wasn't why it was weird to me. I just thought that Velveteen Dream was ruined by his controversial past few months, right? That I had no interest in participating in anything Velveteen Dream was in, which is kind of sad because he's really talented. But parang naruin siya by how his PR was tarnished and how they really didn't handle what his controversy was. I don't know. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
No, I'm with Stan mostly on this, and I'm going to defend my earlier statement by saying that it is a cinematic match.
No, one, because I still don't think it is.
Because they shot it in a back lot and a back. So what? And a back. It's a studio. What else do you shoot in a studio?
It's just a venue.
What else do you shoot in a studio, bro? Come on.
It's just a venue.
Finish your point.
Okay.
It's a setting for movies to take place in, number one. There are previous dirt sheets that say that this was getting a cinematic treatment.
You should have led with that.
And that's it. That's it.
And then,
it was shot differently.
The fact that it had commentary for me was what ruined it. Because it was cinematic and yet it had commentary. You don't watch movies with commentary, right? Because that takes you out of the movie watching experience. But that's why they don't have them in the first place. So for me, I mean, you do that because you want a deeper, a second analysis.
It's a breakdown.
An understanding of the movie. You don't do it on first watch because then you're just out of it from the get-go and you're not able to appreciate the creativity behind it. So for me, this whole thing is just, it was ruined the moment Morrow opened his mouth and they just cut to a camera angle.
I don't agree with that because I enjoyed Stadium Stampede and we enjoyed Stadium Stampede, which was, again, another match that was just outside.
That was a hoot.
I think what really went wrong with this one is not that it had commentary. Because the commentary could really make or break you. It's really just the way that WWE plays these things too straight. Parang sobrang seryoso that either you do something crazy and absurd and have the rightful commentary to go along with it, or you play it super straight and stylized. Sorry about that. So you play super straight and stylized.
Yeah, it's still cool. Like, at the end of the day, it's still cool, but it doesn't feel like, how do you say this? It doesn't feel like they did, like, it did enough to warrant the treatment. That's all.
Yes, and if all the matches that you had on the card, this would be one of the last matches I'd pick to give the cinematic treatment to. Parang,
I agree with that.
It's not the one that stands out the most that warrants it. It doesn't give you much room for creativity. None of these guys have a supernatural aspect to their character, which allows you to have some sort of angle to it. But nothing warrants special effects. Nobody needs a different camera angle. Go ahead.
Unless if they didn't, like, I'm thinking about it now. If they went all in on the Velveteen Dream mystique and mysticism, not mysticism, weirdness that he carries, like if they just doubled down on that and said, okay, backlot match, we're gonna have a more cinematic treatment. I was waiting for them to go through a door. Like when they started going around the doors, I was expecting it. Step inside and then cut to something completely wacky and bizarre. If they did just that, I'd be okay.
Yeah, but they didn't. So, you know, we got what we got. I wasn't a fan of that backlot brawl. I appreciate how Morrow tried to give it gravitas by saying that this is shades of Cena and Guerrero. Now, that was a classic backlot brawl. But that was also held during the time na merong fans in the audience. So, you know, there were people in the arena chanting for the match or cheering for the match. Ito, parang wala, he had wrestlers in cars. So, sobrang underwhelming lang niya. Parang if anything, the fact that it was held outside the ring, mas naramdaman ko na hindi siya normal.
I did appreciate Dexter Lumis making an appearance though.
That was weird, actually.
For all the weirdness that this match had, I think that was one of the more redeeming qualities. Kasi, it escalated his serial killerness, you know, his bizarreness a little bit by abducting all three members of the Undisputed Era. So now I'm a little bit more attached to that story.
Yeah, nag-follow through din siya on the thing that they teased, but he had that backstage segment with the interviewer. Then he was drawing how he would kidnap the Undisputed Era. So it's not like they didn't call it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not out of nowhere.
It's a nice
thing, but it's also, they could have done more with it, diba?
I just want
a little bit more.
I just want WWE to stop taking itself too seriously. I think what the tone they went for with Money in the Bank, that was okay for cinematic matches as far as it goes, but for this one, talaga, these really tried to sell it too serious and it didn't work. I say, nothing groundbreaking happened in this backlot brawl match to warrant the cinema of it all, right? So either you go crazy, like you go crazy like in the, or you go campy like in the back and the Boneyard match, in the Boneyard match, or bizarre in the Funhouse match. No! Just stop taking it too seriously.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the other three matches on the card. I did mention the 6-woman tag match is kind of parang extra lang siya, so I don't want to spend too much time on that.
Akala ko attached kasi nandun si Tegan Nox, but then now.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I'm attached because of Tegan Nox, but other than that, hindi rin siya super important eh. Story-wise, yung 6-woman match.
Exactly. I actually don't understand why this was even on the card. I would have thought that they'd put Breezango versus Imperium on this before they'd put that match on. So parang, it's a mama match. It's a match that's just there for the sake of being there. These ladies have been on TV a lot.
But it also sets up a couple of other things. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But then, did it need a takeover slot over the actual tag team titles?
No, it did not.
You would put that over more than this, right? Even if Breezango does lose or they job out to Imperium. Parang...
I actually thought it was weird that they didn't put the Cruiserweight Championship finals on this card. I always thought they would.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, well, they wanted to make TV, so...
Oh, to be fair, naging must-watch din naman yung episode ng NXT before TakeOver because it had the Cruiserweight Championship finals, diba?
Yeah, I guess.
Let's get to the North American Championship match between Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano. I appreciated Keith Lee coming out and having the Black Lives Matter statement on his gear. I don't really think anyone else had the Black Lives Matter statement. I'm not sure kung BLM-related din yung t-shirt ni Mia Yim when she came out. Because I didn't recognize the names on her shirt.
It is, but with Keith Lee, obviously. Those names belong to a cause that she's been supporting for a while of a couple of wrongfully convicted black gentlemen. It's a while back. Na parang na-arresto sila sa Central Park just for being black, something like that.
So yeah, for people who are curious, it's because one, you can identify with a cause even if it directly doesn't affect you, and two, Mia Yim is black. So yeah. I'm not sure if a lot of people know that about her. Okay, so the match itself was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed it. Like, I loved how Johnny Gargano came out of his house, like I mentioned. Sobrang weird lang na si Johnny Gargano yung nagtake advantage during the match despite the fact na siya mas maliit. Like, yeah, he was attacking smaller body parts na mas masakit, like the eye or the hand kapag pinuntirya mo. But the visual of the smaller heel taking on the larger baby face has always been very weird for me.
Especially with a guy like Keith Lee, right?
Yep.
But they did what they could with it. I think they just had to make the most of what they were given. And it was okay. I didn't hate it. I thought Keith Lee would... Keith Lee won. I thought Gargano would win.
Kala ko rin.
Kasi I thought it was time then for something new, for something different. Especially after...
And something for Gargano.
Yeah, exactly. The show for his newfound heel turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Candice LeRae and Mia Yim getting involved?
It was natural, I think.
I might be nitpicking this way too much. But during the 6-woman tag, they disappeared into the backstage area in a brawl, right?
Yes.
And then they come out a few matches later in this match, and then they're in street clothes.
No. Chino, you're getting your continuity wrong. What happened was Candice came in to interfere for the match, but it's not the continuation of the brawl.
Right. So what happened to the brawl then? That's my question.
I'm guessing they ended. They changed clothes, and then Candice tried to interfere. When then Mia knew Candice would try to interfere, that's probably what happened. It's not that, you know, they were still brawling by the time they were by the time Candice was out to interfere for Johnny.
That's what I was believing because they did because they faded into the background just hitting each other still. So parang inisip ko, nobody's gonna stop this because nobody bothered. And so now all of a sudden they're in Mia Yim's and joggers now. So parang okay.
What there? We explained it for you, it happened that way. So it's no big deal. Like, honestly, what really happened with that, it's just continuation for storyline. So, I mean, it didn't have to happen at the takeover. It's one of those, yeah, you could have just continued this somewhere else or next week or on the week after. But it happened. Then I'm not too mad about it.
All right, let's wrap up the takeover discussion on Finn Balor and Damian Priest.
That was fun.
Fun as
that
hell.
That was actually surprisingly fun.
Better than expected, I have to say.
Why was it better than expected? It was no, exactly what I expected.
No, because me and Camus, and I might be mistaken here, me and Camus were just like, this is going to be an okay match. It's not going to be one of the bangers of the evening. And then watching it was like, wow, okay, this is Punishment Martinez. This is old school Finn Balor. This is hard, as hard-hitting as it could get. And so I loved it. I loved it
and
a lot.
It was the right kind of hard hitting. Na parang if you've seen what you keep calling him Punishment Martinez, but his work as Punishment Martinez was very similar to this. Hard hitting,
yes.
Very, very how do you say this? Precision striking.
Yes.
Parang, it's something that that's what I knew him for.
He is getting
to see it like on full display. Yeah.
He is a kickboxer, you know, in by training. So he does have that repertoire in his move set. So it's nice to get a glimpse of it again, even if for only one match in this matchup.
I didn't have a lot of expectation for the match. I'm probably in the minority here. Like, I wasn't super excited for it because for me, kala ko, they pretty much forgot na Finn Balor was supposed to be a heel na walang pake. So now that he's a babyface again, kahit na sabihin mong edgy siya, parang ano yung point ng heel turn?
No, I don't think at this point he was a heel na walang pake. I think he is the closest thing to Stone Cold that they have. Way more than Kevin Owens is. Because he's such a cool anti-hero that already saw this from the Walter feud, actually. This is already signified from when Imperium mobbed him. But at this point, Imperium can't be the faces here. So this has to mean that Finn isn't quite a heel or as heelish as we think. I say he's getting all those cool face reactions. I mean, people are doing his shtick. He's doing the whole entrance thing again. And to me, that just tells me that they're banking on his cool all-around personality there.
Face na walang pake na siya ngayon.
Face na walang pake. Yeah, heel na walang pake. So I think they have something special there. It's just a matter of time, I believe, as to when they'll be putting that guy in the main event scene of NXT.
Because I think that if you're going to put him into the main event, it has to be for the downfall of Adam Cole's reign. They're making a big deal about the reign now that it's hit 370 plus days.
Yep.
After, if I remember correctly, na parang he passed the year mark last week. So if we're taking this into consideration, it's like, okay, who's the big fish who's gonna take him out? Let it be Finn, diba? But make it matter. Yan yun.
Yeah, I'm just piggybacking off of Neil's comment on the live feed. Sinasabi niya, he does see the DTA aspect or the don't trust anybody aspect in Finn's new character, which is a shift from the initial heel turn. So it's more of the self-interest than heelish. In a way, now that you point me in this direction, it's kind of like Jon Moxley. Like when he first came out to AEW, he was a heel, diba, for going after Kenny Omega and being a sick fuck. And then slowly nag-transition siya into being their version of Stone Cold.
Yeah. Yun. That's actually a pretty good comparison.
It's apt, yeah. It's apt.
I'm glad that they stumbled into it.
Boy, even despite the fact na walang tao sa audience.
Yeah, I mean it. Speaking of this, before
COVID, with the Imperium stuff.
Yeah.
Diba?
But it was still fun. Like, there's so much that you can do with it moving forward. Even with like the weird audience, they're still into it. Na parang nagkaka-reaction pa siya for all of the kalokohan. So it works out for me. Like you'll see them develop it as this goes along.
All right, let's put a cap on our NXT TakeOver In Your House talk, and let's transition to Backlash. We still have that show coming up next week. It's kind of weird. Now you have these pay-per-view events happening within 1 week of one another. And here we are. We're bitching about this now when, what, 4-3 years ago, 2 weeks yung agwat ng mga branded pay-per-views. Who knew that we would get to this point na walang audience tapos every week may pay-per-view, tangin eh.
Hindi naman every week. Well,
no, it's only happened. To be fair to WWE, it's only happened once. Wala namang pay-per-view after Backlash, diba?
So, wait. Kailan ba yung Double or Nothing? Double or Nothing was like last week, diba? Or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago? Sure.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, we don't know anymore. I'm the construct. Time is
all these events are happening so close to one another. I need some time to breathe.
No, it's much better than all of them happening on the same weekend. Like, I'd rather have this, you know, TakeOver happening last weekend instead of, you know, two straight days in one weekend.
Yeah, actually, okay din yun. Tsaka gusto ko lang sabihin, Keith Lee broke the rules of social distancing when he threw Johnny Gargano across the plexiglass. Like, that's not 6 feet, bro. That's not 6 feet.
May thermal scanning naman daw eh.
Right.
They're in a bubble. They're in a bubble, though.
Let's talk about Backlash and how it's being billed as having the greatest wrestling match ever. And let's talk about this gimmick, because Chino, I know you have thoughts, especially after they started using the song from The Greatest Showman.
I just wanted to say that. I haven't been watching WWE programming consistently since Black Wednesday, right? So I've only been watching it in spots, and I've been skipping through some of the commercials. So when I saw the promo spot for Backlash and The Greatest Wrestling Match Ever having the song from The Greatest Showman, I thought, like, what the fuck? They're actually using the Brendan Urie cover, and they're actually using this song to describe Edge and Randy Orton.
Also, they are using a song from a musical about a tyrant to describe a product coming from another tyrant. Did nobody do their research? Did nobody fucking look online and see IPT Barnum a kupal yan patay tayo? Nobody did it. Nobody bothered.
How do you know that siya sadya?
Oh, God.
How do you know that sadya?
Diba? Maybe there's some sick fuck in their music department thought, ah, puta, Vince McMahon, ah, COVID, kaya pagtrabaho ko, ah, ito sa'yo.
I'm pretty sure that was...
It's either one of two ways, guys. And it's just every time I look at it, I can't help it. Ang bobo nyo, WWE, ang bobo nyo.
Speaking of P.T. Barnum, shout out to Trian De La Torre.
Oh God!
No, but speaking of the greatest match ever, Anil Cuenca is right. The overpush is heavy. I don't know. I don't even think this was tongue in cheek, but this is gonna fall way flat in their face. I mean, Edge is my boy here. I love Edge, but I don't see any universe, any way that this is gonna work between two guys in their 40s.
Yeah, sobrang weird how they just keep beating us over the head with that tagline. Greatest wrestling match ever, greatest wrestling match ever, and they're interviewing all these Hall of Famers, these legends, to get their take on it. Dico gets any end game nito.
Yeah, I think it's still part of Vince's fuck it mode. Parang wala siyang pakialam kasi COVID naman, wala namang audience, and wala naman tao to tell people that they're doing a bad job. So I guess they really are doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
I just hope that this will be
the
end of the
thing that he wants.
Yeah,
this is the thing he wants. That's upsetting.
If this is Edge's last match with Randy Orton, then please let it be his last match with Randy Orton. No more rematches. No more fucking greatest wrestling match part two, please. Just either make him retire or give him somebody else, because this is so insufferable.
You know what's even worse? It's being billed as the greatest wrestling match ever. And then Randy Orton and Tommaso Ciampa had this verbal spat on Twitter. Ciampa called Orton boring. That can't help you. That can't help your billing of this match when you're when one of your top guys in NXT is calling one of your top legend or veterans and the main roster boring.
Yeah, it's gonna. If Randy Orton showed as much personality in the ring as he does on social media, then I would be more invested in this. Pero wala eh. Twitter Orton is so much cooler.
Actually, Twitter Orton rules. I love Twitter Orton.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
This might be an angle.
Yeah, it could be. It what could still be an angle between the two of them. Between the two of them. But right now, rumors say that it's not a planned angle between by the company. So it's kind of counterproductive there.
But if it happens, I like it.
All right, let's pick the match. Who do you think is winning? I think na Edge wins para tapos ng feud.
Yeah, Edge has to win here.
Edge has to win, please.
Ako Orton eh, because Edge won the last man standing match.
Hindi pa tapos, man. So 1-1 siya dapat siya winner.
So sweep si Edge, ganun? Oh, I didn't see eh.
Yeah, let Edge sweep. It's fine.
All right.
Randy doesn't need the win.
Yeah, okay. True. Fine. Edge wins.
Randy doesn't need the win.
Edge wins. Right, fine.
Let's move on to the WWE Championship match. It's Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, probably
TNA.
With
TNA. TNA. I love it.
This could be pretty good. It has the potential to be pretty solid.
Yes.
What do you think about Bobby Lashley being repackaged as having this unstoppable Full Nelson?
Full Nelson Bomb or just straight up Full Nelson?
Full Nelson. Yeah, so you haven't been watching that,
like
he has a new finisher. Yeah, the master lock now. An episode of Raw actually ended where Bobby Lashley choked out Drew McIntyre with the master lock.
Is it a choke though?
Or made him pass out?
Yeah. It's like 2005 all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be a much better move to highlight. It could be a more exciting submission hold. Especially when you got a champion who isn't that much smaller than Bobby Lashley, right? Okay, yeah. Sana kung sobrang laki ng size difference today, but not really. So I wish it was the spear that they focused on instead.
And it's just the edgy.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true. That's also true. Or something,
weird.
I don't know.
You're right though, Ro. Weird nga. Kasi like, look at Drew McIntyre. Tangina laki ng traps ng tao. Puta na, paano mo siya may immobilize with the master lock?
Plus, I think Drew McIntyre is actually taller.
He's huge. It's not a lot.
I think he's taller, diba? So, I mean, advantage still goes to Drew McIntyre. So, parang hindi ko alam
kung paano. But Bobby Lashley's... DNA.
Shout out to Neil Cuenca and Nikki Boy Gutierrez on the Facebook Live, both of whom are pointing out that Bobby Lashley was the one who actually broke the Master Lock challenge. So there's a bit of continuity. Na siya nag-pick up the Master Lock as a finish.
Yeah, it's actually good. Actually, good job, guys. Nobody thought to mention that.
Yeah, Michael nobody Cole was around this time, Leon, and he never thought of bringing that up. Michael Cole's on SmackDown. None of the Raw guys ever thought of bringing that up. So yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you think is winning this one? I think Drew McIntyre. Although Bobby Lashley won, I think it would be a nice, BLM moment.
But I don't think so. Because I'm pretty sure Drew is their next big thing at the moment, and they invested way too much in him already.
Yeah, I thought Drew.
Because
I'm seeing MVP and Bobby Lashley get a tag team title push.
Or they build that group up to be whatever he wants it to be, diba? The rumors of a MVP super stable of powerful black people has been in the how many months now?
Since April, I guess. Since early May, I think there was the rumors of that.
April, early May.
I wouldn't be mad at
that. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah. So I drew all the way. Sorry.
Yeah.
All I want to come out of this is a new version of the Master Lock Challenge, which will inspire a new generation of high school students to actually participate in their own Master Lock Challenges.
Actually, yeah. I totally forgot that was a thing in high school.
Diba? But so I'm Stan, sure meron din sa LSGH. They're not gonna see each other.
Wait, first of all, di na pwede sa LSGH dahil co-ed na kami. So,
bakit?
So,
co-ed na kami. We had diba? Master
Lock. Bakit? Oh, okay. Intergender Master Lock Challenge.
Do you put the girls in the Master Lock role?
No, why would we have to put, why would we have to put the girls in the Master Lock Challenge?
If they consent.
We had it. It was a thing.
Come on. Why are we advocating violence against women? What the fuck is wrong with you?
What's wrong with both of you, Savior? God damn.
I'm just saying.
Oy, I never brought up the girls. Sinabi ko lang yung mga lalaki. Ah.
Okay.
If anyone wants to be put in a master lock, put them in a master lock. I'm an advocate for equal. If you consent to being put in a master lock, if you consent to taking the master lock challenge, which is part of the master lock challenge, allow, you know, consent is consent, Stan.
Eto, Camus, you know what consent. You are? You're an equal opportunity asshole. That's what you are.
Yes.
I am a defender of the women's division of PWR.
Oh, yes, he is a member of the women's division.
There's
that's
also that.
All right, let's move on.
You got a handicap match for the Universal Championship between Braun Strowman and the team of The Miz and John Morrison. I think Strowman pa rin to.
Strowman to, and this is the finish. He picks up both of them and power stamps them at the same time. There's no other way. That's why. There's no other way. That's how it's going to end.
You know what? No, wait. Can I just, sorry, like if I go 2-for-2 in hokey wins in multi-person matches, John Morrison wins this.
Okay lang. Yeah,
I don't mind.
I like their momentum. I like their momentum, but a Johnny Mundo run now, there is a way to make it happen.
Johnny Survivor.
You know what? I think it could very well end up happening that they end up becoming co-champions.
Parang lay cool.
Yeah, parang lay cool. I mean, like, they got the momentum for sure. I wouldn't be mad at it either.
It's so left field that it might be possible, but I'm still saying Braun.
Is it possible to not give a shit and yet be excited about either possibility?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm at. I don't give a shit about this match, pero either Braun picks them both up and slams them for the win, or they become like lay cool. I'm okay with either.
I think you want the thing to move on because you want the championship to move on from Braun.
Yeah, because fuck Braun.
Yeah, because fuck Braun. Sabi ni Nikki Boy Chino na mimigay ko lang ng Master Lock sa LSGH Retreat House.
Oh. isa yata siya yung nabigyan kong Master Lock.
Wait, magka-batch pa kayo ni Nikki Boy?
Hey, man. He's way younger.
All
right, let's get to this next one. The Raw Women's Championship is on the line. Asuka takes on Nia Jax. Feel ko Asuka pa rin so that they can go to Asuka Charlotte.
Yes, yeah, exactly where I was going.
Fuck all this. Let Nia Jax take her shot, but please don't injure another Japanese woman.
With all the flack that Nia has been taking online, how do you even give it to her at this point?
Well, yeah, because WWE.
Yeah, no, they gave it to Braun Strowman, guys.
Oh, no. Braun
isn't that Strowman.
Dangerous. Braun isn't as dangerous as Nia.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is not an apples-to-apples comparison.
WWE can say, and non-wrestler someone kayo, what do you know about wrestling safe?
Okay. If you say so.
At the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah,
regardless
true.
Of what the argument is. Vince still owns the company.
I think it's bad PR waiting to happen.
Yeah, we don't want it to happen. I want Asuka to walk away so that she goes back. Because that Raw match with Charlotte was very good. It was better than advertised. So,
much better than you'd think, no?
Yeah,
I think Charlotte's work since going to NXT was pretty good. I mean, she was really good in the triple threat takeover.
Agreed.
So I think going to NXT really helped her out.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this next one. Jeff Hardy and Sheamus apparently have a match at Backlash. I did not know this.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
they've had a running storyline. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know the story.
Last night, where Sheamus tried to frame Jeff Hardy for running over Elias. So that's that's where the feud comes from. I don't really care about this. So.
Yeah, I mean,
something
Sheamus.
Like that.
People, you know, Sheamus is cool, but you know, they haven't really been doing him any favors with his booking.
Yeah.
So, it's a thing here.
I guess it's going to be a Jeff Hardy win. Is Sheamus going to...
No, I think it's Sheamus win. Yeah. Because they've been pushing him huge.
Yep.
Feeling like they're going to let Jeff Hardy's contract run out. So this is kind of like Jeff Hardy's last few matches or last few stories before his contract expires.
Oh, yeah. That's right. His contract is coming up.
Yep.
I suppose.
All right, last two matches. You have the triple threat tag team match for the women's tag team titles. Bayley and Sasha, who are the new champions, take on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and the Iconics.
I say the Iconics win.
Oh, hold on, I want to say the Iconics win this one.
Feeling like Bayley and Sasha have to win because they're kind of on a roll, but I can see a reason for them to lose because you have a third team in the Iconics, number one. Number two, it continues the story of Sasha that she can never defend the championship. And number three, it leads to more infighting between Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you saw the Raw tag team match. There was a bit of miscommunication highlighted during one exchange, right? So
they might win the titles on Friday or on weekend.
Yes, exactly. So may opportunity for that again to happen. And if they're gonna pull the trigger on Sasha versus Bayley, might as well do it now.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I agree.
You're not in a SmackDown Women's Champion, so that's something to watch out for. All right, and finally, you have Andrade taking on Apollo Crews for Apollo's United States Championship.
The faction is breaking. The stable is breaking up, right? They're pretty much in tatters now.
Yeah, because Andrade pinned Angel Garza on the Raw.
Yep. Yeah, and Austin Theory's no longer there.
Yeah. It's with Seth Rollins now. Mm-hmm. I think it's Apollo's too.
So who does Zelina go with? Andrade?
Andrade pa rin. Original.
Oh, OG client. Yeah. All right, there you have it. Those are our Backlash predictions. If you have any comments you want to send our way, any reactions, any contradicting opinions you want to send them our way, you can leave it in the comment section of this video or hit us up on social media. It is at Wrestling2XPod for the show and then for us individually at _StanC, at Roiswar, at Caveman Camus, and at Chino Supersized. Anything else that we missed?
Yes.
Japan.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. So, let's break that down.
Mm-hmm. Go, Camus. Go. It's all you.
New Japan is back, baby.
Yes.
So, they will be operating under, like, they had a big press con how many days ago? Two, three days ago?
Yesterday.
See? I don't know. Sense of time. Doesn't matter anymore. But, the New Japan Cup is coming back and they are mixing the heavyweights and the junior heavyweights into this one. So we're basically getting Best of the Super Juniors and the NJ Cup in one go for this, using whoever is available in New Japan. Like whoever was in Tokyo, they're going to run this. So they will start streaming their matches on June 16th, with the final happening on July 11th at Osaka Joe Hall. And this is actually kind of fun. Like, and when I saw the brackets, there's fun potential all over. But, you know, it's not the best. Like, it's not the best lineup that we've seen in a while.
But it's Japan
foreigners and wawalai.
It's New Japan Wrestling, and we're almost that much better in the world to have it back.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
Yes!
Thomas, okay, the two of you are the ones who follow it closely, you know, compared to me and Chino. Who do you think is most likely to win the New Japan Cup? Because the winner is supposed to challenge for Naito's two belts.
Yeah. That's a thing. That's still a thing if people forgot.
Yeah. So that's the prize for the New Japan Cup winner.
Yeah, because it's like after he won... Like, after he won, we had New Year's Dash, and then we went straight into COVID.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we got none of this. So, it's like, literally, we were denied Hiromu versus Naito at the anniversary show that was supposed to happen, I think, late Feb or early March, whenever that was scheduled to happen. So, I think they will run it here through the New Japan Cup. So, Hiromu would win it outright. I think he can, Like, given the brackets, you'd basically have to have Hiromu versus Okada on one side of the bracket finals before Hiromu gets the chance to challenge. But they'll do this. I think they will do this.
I originally predicted Sanada to make it all the way. I'm still sticking to Sanada taking the New Japan Cup. I mean, I assume nothing changed for the long-term plan. Either that or
but everything has changed.
Huh? Everything has changed, everything has changed. When has that ever stopped New Japan from changing its course? I guess, but we'll find out. We'll find out when this happens.
You know, I have a couple of questions. So, you first, Kamus. Then I'll get to my question.
I was gonna say to Ro, Ibushi and Sanada are in the same bracket, corner quarter.
Almost. So there's a chance that they'll meet. There's a big chance that they end up together.
In the quarterfinals. Yeah. Okay. I have a feeling. If it's not Sanada, it's gonna be Shingo coming out from that.
Okay, and here's my question.
Yeah, go.
Okay. The question is, what is stopping New Japan from booking Okada and Ibushi in the finals? Because they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
Okada and Ibushi?
Yeah.
Wala naman.
It's just that
they just did it. They just did it.
Yeah. Nung Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I had to think about it. Yes, Wrestle Kingdom. That was a long while ago.
Yep. So, since there's not a lot of good wrestling to follow, I might actually follow the New Japan Cup just because it seems easier to watch than the G1.
It's single elimination.
So much more. Yeah. Single elimination. It's like
in the first round, these four matches lang. Eh.
Yep.
Oh. And it's like you sort of know who's, like, given who's available and who's in the country. This is a pretty good lineup. I mean, my only thing is na Jado and Gedo had to join, but apart from that, I'm happy.
Yeah, I seem to know who most of these guys are, naman. So
our
yeah, why not?
Jeff isn't here though. I thought he was gonna be.
Kuya Jeff Cobb. That's a USA. Yeah.
Jeff's still in the States.
Yeah,
they
there's
can't
a travel ban. There's a travel ban in Japan of foreigners, diba? So
right.
So it's like that covers. I mean, Robbie couldn't fly. Robbie can't fly in. Jeff can't fly in. TJ can't fly in. None of our friends.
But it's mostly Japanese guys, right? On the card, that's what I'm seeing here as well.
Yep, I think the only ones that are still there are the ones that had the only foreigners are actually Kota Ibushi and Gabriel Kidd, who both.
Wait, how is Kota Ibushi a foreigner?
Yeah, wait. Kota Ibushi is a foreigner?
What? Sorry, Zack Sabre Jr. Sorry. Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, okay.
Naka first round matchup niya. They're the first round matchup. Sorry. I was reading it wrong.
Yeah. All right, let's get to last couple of questions from the live feed before we get to our picks of the week. Starting off with Nikki Boy, who asks if we were able to catch the Slammiversary teaser. I think we talked about this last year, diba?
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
Yeah, the one that featured several former WWE superstars.
We know now Drake is still with NXT, so I don't think he's going to be part of that deal. I'm not sure if everyone on that teaser is really coming over to Impact.
Yeah, Nico heading in.
Also, I will say that Anderson and Gallows have been prominently featured on that teaser. So, if you're a betting man and you're gonna place odds, place it on them. Because feeling ko sila talaga yung sure na lalabas, not everybody else.
Right.
All right.
And not last the flag question. Of Bulgaria.
Yeah. No.
Unfortunately. Is from JK Obnial, who is asking, who is our pick to win the IC title, Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles?
Oh, nga pala.
Sami Zayn.
It's interesting that they don't have this on Backlash too. That's another.
Oh, nice. Oh no. That's also weird.
Diba? Yep. Instead, we have Hardy versus Sheamus.
Ito, maniniwala ako pag sinabi niyong greatest wrestling match ever. Ito,
maniniwala
ako dito. They're not fucking Orton and Edge, man. Come on.
I agree.
100%. How AJ Styles?
Both choices are great, though. Like, I wouldn't be mad.
Has AJ held it yet?
He is not, which is why I'm picking him.
I'd pick him.
I'd say AJ Styles as well, especially since Bryan's expressed before that he doesn't really want to be a champion anymore. It's like it's not part of his goals now. Right? So I say AJ Styles.
It doesn't matter what he wants though. But well, I'll be okay with any of these guys really. But since everyone's picking AJ Styles and AJ Styles hasn't been the Intercontinental Champion yet, I'll pick him then.
All right. Chino, you go.
AJ Naren. Yeah, AJ Naren.
All righty. Thank you very much, everybody who's been sending in your questions for tonight's live episode of the Wrestling Podcast. We'll top it off with our picks of the week. And because mine is the shortest, I'll start with mine. My pick of the week is the retro commercials from Takeover in Your House. This is sobrang kwela niya. Like, I loved the Ico Pro segment featuring Adam Cole. And because my heart beats for Tegan Knox, seeing her eat ice cream sandwiches just made me really, really happy.
Right. Ang benta ng Shotzi Blackheart eating his ice cream sandwich.
I know,
that's
right?
Up there. That's up there for me. She just stuffed her face. I love it.
Ate Shotzi is a mood. She is a mood.
Yeah, she is. So I guess I'll go. My pick of the week for this week is actually the main event for NXT TakeOver In Your House. The triple threat between Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, and Charlotte Flair.
Right. Rusev having fun in the Twitch life makes me want to have a Twitch career as well. But my pick of the week is Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. That was a really fun match.
All right. My pick of the week is Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano.
I thought it was purely great.
If you're going to watch something, watch Drake. Watch the Drake match because that's where
that's
the
point of the pick of the week. If you're going to pick something, you watch it.
What the fuck, man?
Thomas, you've been wrestling to your own. How could you forget the essence of this segment?
Wait. Okay. Can I justify my change? Because you get Dorkam. The second you get Dorkam, that's it for me, man. You know I love my hokey stuff. You know I love my kagaguhan. Give me Dorkam for every show moving forward.
All right. Okay.
Also, Maverick is great too.
Pero, okay, fine. If Camus gets a second pick, I'll get a second pick. It's my second pick is the Twitter feud between Orton and Tommaso Ciampa because it's so great. It's so great.
Did you see the part where his wife chimed in too?
I did. Yes.
Whose wife?
Orton's wife.
Randy Orton basically called NXT a wrestling school, and that was the best shit I've seen.
Is that wrong?
Professor Shawn Michaels.
Tell me what time leg slap class starts. So great.
Ganda, di ba? Ang ganda.
All right. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in and sent in your comments and your questions. We really appreciate it every time you join us for these live shows. We've got some more guests that we're lining up, so we're not out of juice just yet. And you know what? If you have any personalities you want us to feature, hit us up on Twitter and let us know who you want to be featured on the Wrestling Podcast. We've got so much time here at home. And, you know, we can always make time for these interviews. Speaking of interviews, I want to get this plug in as well. Tomorrow on the Morning Takeover on Wave 89.1, we're talking to Moonshine, who's one third of 8-Bit Fiction. And we're talking to her about mental health and dealing with it and taking care of it in the time of the pandemic. So this was inspired by JDL's interview with her on PWOG's Live on Instagram. And I think it's a very timely conversation to have, especially because this has been a very tough time for all of us. And it's also a good opportunity to just, you know, talk to someone who understands mental health, does not care about the stigma associated with it, and to get your questions in. Kasi, yun nga, lahat tayo pinagdadaanan natin to with the pandemic and with current events. So if you have any questions you want to send to Moonshine, hit me up at _Stancy on Twitter, and we go live at 9 a.m. with the interview. Right?
Can we also send a shout out? Can we also send a happy birthday to Debbie Fett? Birthday.
Oh yeah,
today.
Yes. Our good friend
today?
And my radio today. Partner Debbie Ten is turning 1 year older today.
Yep.
Although I'm pretty sure she's not watching birthday this. She's probably getting her Jeremiah on tonight. So I
yeah, she is.
I mean, you know, it's none of our business. None of our business.
Okay, first of all, it's weird for me to say that because I've known her as an underage girl, so it's just weird.
Wow, Chino. Wow.
I'm just getting weirder.
Cut the stream. No, Ryan, cut the stream.
Right, yeah. The FBI is coming for Chino.
The NBI is coming for Chino with a terror bill. So junk terror bill.
Oh my god.
Junk terror bill.
All right, guys. Remember to speak up.
Oh my god.
Thank you for hanging out with us in your weekly dose of wrestling talk. We're always happy to be giving you this your fair share of wrestling discussion or of the stuff that's happening everywhere in the world.
Yep, so on behalf of Ro Moran, Raf Kamutz, and the creepy Chino Liao, my name is Stan. Saying thank you very much, everyone. We'll catch you next week on the next episode. Shout out to Babyface producer Ryan and the Podcast Network Asia family for keeping it all together. And with that, stay safe, stay well, wash your hands, and we're out of here.
Junk Terror Bill, peace.